don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. I want to hit one today. I mentioned channel factories in the previous episode. And like I said, I've been going through the L2 paper as well as the channel factories paper again. But I stumbled upon an article on BitcoinMagazine.com that kind of goes over the major concept behind it. It's by Mikhail Mulders. And it was actually published on November 27th of 2017, so this is towards the end of last year. And it's titled, "This New Scaling Layer Could Make Payment Channels 10 Times More Effective." So let's go ahead and jump in. There is no disputing the fact that the Bitcoin network has scalability problems. Micropayment channels are a solution to increase the transaction rate and speed. Yet this is not the golden solution. This micropayments solution needs a fixed amount of funds to be locked into each channel's multi-signature wallet and requires a transaction for each channel creation and closure. This hinders the blockchain network from upscaling to a global payment system because Bitcoin's capacity is limited. A recently published research paper by a university in Zurich suggests implementing a new layer in between the blockchain and payment channels that enables off-blockchain channel funding to reduce stress on the Bitcoin blockchain. What are micropayment channels? The paper mentions two challenges. Quote, "Micropayment channel networks create new problems, which have not yet been solved in the original papers. We identify two main challenges, the blockchain capacity and locked-in funds," end quote. Before we go any further into this proposed solution, it is essential to understand the concept of micropayment channels. Bitcoin's blockchain network does not allow you to send any micropayments of tiny amounts of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's block weight limit caps this at less than 10 transactions per second on average. Payment channels let users lock up a fixed amount of funds in a multi-signature wallet controlled by the client and receiver. A channel can be opened by sending a transaction to the blockchain. Next, an unlimited amount of payments can be made between the client and receiver. These payments are all performed off-chain and only exist between both participants. Once a channel is closed, a final transaction containing end balances will be sent out to the Bitcoin network. This is the base implementation of micropayment channels. A more evolved implementation is the Lightning Network, which allows bidirectional payment channels. Reducing many hundreds, thousands, or even more transactions to just two transactions per channel is a drastic improvement. Still, it is not enough for bringing the Bitcoin network to the level of a worldwide payment system. A channel can only exist between two participants. So if each person in a group of 20 wants to open 5 channels, this will require a lot of transactions, 200 to be exact. Besides that, there is no solution for when the amount of locked funds is exceeded for a specific channel. Proposed solution. The paper tells us about a new layer. Quote, "We introduce a new layer between the blockchain and the payment network, giving a three-layered system. The new second layer consists of multi-party micropayment channels we call channel factories, which can quickly fund regular two-party channels," end quote. The paper suggests a three-layered system in which the first and third layers already exist. The first layer locks the funds, and the third layer performs the actual transfers of currencies. The new second layer can be seen as a channel factory. It is responsible for creating multi-party micropayment channels and quickly refunding wallets when they are almost depleted. The paper calculated a savings of up to 90% for a group of 20 nodes with 100 channels in between them. Instead of sending a blockchain transaction for each channel creation or closure, the paper suggests a system where just one transaction is needed to open multiple channels without further blockchain contact. Funds are locked into a shared wallet between a group of nodes instead of a specific channel. Furthermore, funds can be moved between groups with just an attached message with further details such as receiver address. All of this happens off blockchain. The only addressed risk is that a user within a group can close the channel factory, the second layer. This induces a higher mining fee because more blockchain space is used. While this is not a big risk, a user won't gain personal advantage by doing so, it does limit the usefulness of large groups. Next, it is possible that the receiver doesn't sign a transaction. The paper introduces the use of either time locks or punishments for dishonest parties. They will focus on time locks because they think it performs much better. After a time lock has elapsed, the current status of the channel will be broadcasted to the blockchain and the channel will be closed. No punishment is applied. There is no risk in securing funds. The multi-signature wallet has a many-to-many constraint containing all signatures of the involved actors. Funds can only be spent when all actors have signed the transaction, so no one can be deprived of funds without signing it for themselves. So that's just a basic overview of channel factories. One of the other interesting benefits that I thought, and I think I mentioned in the previous episode, was that even if one node goes offline, they can't reorganize the entire multi-party agreement, but they can still close and open all channels not associated with that one node who's offline, allowing people to still rebalance and move funds around. And in a, like, let's say you had it, we're talking about a 404 multisig. The way it's designed, or at least part of its design, is the fact that you have an equal channel. Like, I'm one of the participants. I have a channel with a third of my funds with the first person, a third of my funds with the second person, and a third of my funds with the third person. So if the third person goes offline temporarily, I still have access to my first two channels and can still move money around and open and close channels with that amount of funds. So normally in a two-party system where it's just me and one other node, if that node goes offline, everything I've locked in that channel is unusable. In this situation with the 404, everything I have with the two nodes still online, or two-thirds of the funds I've locked up in that multi-party agreement, is still perfectly accessible, and I can still rebalance, open and close channels with that money. It's just what I've locked with the node offline. So again, as the group grows larger, that ratio becomes smaller and smaller. So with 20, with 20 participants in it, I've got a the way the multi-signature works is the channel factory will open a channel with 1/19th of my funds with 19 of the 20 participants, obviously not everybody excluding myself, meaning that if one player or two players go offline, I'm just losing 1/19th or 2/19ths of my available funds in access rather than everything that's locked into the channel. So it's a really interesting new dynamic, and it's a fascinating technology. And like I said, this I thought was a interesting short little introduction just to kind of how it works and towards the concept of it being a second layer and turning the Lightning Network, the two-party channels, into the third layer. So you have the base Bitcoin blockchain, then you have these multi-party agreements that can produce, rearrange, close and open channels all off-chain. And then you have all these two-party channels that can extend into the Lightning Network as the third layer. But that should do it for our quick read today. We'll be diving much deeper into this going forward. And this is a good precursor to a couple of articles I want to hit in quick succession. I think most of them are on BitcoinMagazine.com for my lineup right now. But again, this one also was on BitcoinMagazine.com. and it was by McGill Mulders. So don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy and, of course, Medium as well. I'll keep these coming out, so if you want to keep hearing the next ones, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and share the podcast with all of your friends and everybody you know in the crypto economy space. That'll close this crypto economy quick read. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take it easy.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.